Okay, so we're gonna start recording now, and we'll just roll into it. You know, we like to keep it informal. So, hi.
Hi.
Why don't you tell us your name, who you work for, and what you do?
Yeah. So my name is Oliver Briemle, and I'm working at ZF and responsible for the level 4 development, which means feature development, the driving feature itself, the central ECU hardware development or hardware itself, but also the connectivity part.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so here at CES, you guys are highlighting what you're calling Pro AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you explain what that is?
Pro AI is a product family. We started 2 years ago, the development. Now we have five different hardware solutions available. Mm-hmm. 4-5 means we have generation. It's not a generation, it's names from the Gen 1 to the Gen 4. We started together with our partner NVIDIA to bring to the market a solution for autonomous driving, and special here for AI technologies. And now, or today, we announced a second SoC supplier with Xilinx. So we have a strong partnership here now with two major providers. One is, and a long history, 2 years for us is long,
yeah.
NVIDIA, and now Xilinx.
So is the goal that you would provide a full stack solution for level 4? And that an OEM would say, we'll take it, and therefore they can cancel their internal development?
Yes. So what we highlighted was the modularity, the scalability, the flexibility. And this is not only on the hardware, it's also on the software. So we can provide, together with our partner NVIDIA, a full stack. We can provide our own stack, as you have seen today with the Ego, or yesterday with the ride-hailing system with the Vito. In US, it's the Metris. So we have the capability to enable couple platforms, vehicle platforms, with our technology.
Are car manufacturers wasting their time with their internal R&D on level 4?
Not wasting. So, you know, it's a big market, and a big effort we have in front of us all. And so we will see several solutions in the market in the future. So and we can just offer one of them.
Do you think several solutions from one OEM?
From different OEMs, yeah.
So, I mean, today, how many companies make tires? Not that many. At one time, there were many companies. Level 4 presumably will become a commoditized product that an OEM can call you and say, we'll take it. We don't want it the whole fleet.
Yeah.
How many companies do you think in the future will be offering a product like you're developing now?
I think at the end, it not everybody. It will be at the end just a couple.
Yeah? Three,
four, maybe five.
How could any car manufacturer ever hope to develop a level 4 solution internally, given the history of how car manufacturing and just how they actually assemble cars?
I think we have to separate the traditional way for pass cars, so to say, and mobility as a service. Yeah? Nobody, you or I, we can buy such kind of a system the next couple of years because it's so expensive. Yeah. But providers who provides the mobility as a service, they can get the money quite fast back. Yeah? So in 2-3 years, they have to turn around. Yeah. So in this case, if this is a ride-hailing system like we have shown yesterday, or a robotaxi, which is driving 24/7, so this is the market we see in the future. What will change in 10, 15 years, when the system gets cheaper and more common, then we see also a market in the standard pass car, so to say.
So we hear a lot from full stack developers about sort of how tightly integrated everything needs to be. What we don't hear is something that you're saying, which is this talking about scalability.
Mm-hmm.
how do you make that work? And more importantly, why are you taking a scalable approach to this kind of development?
Yeah. So still the mass market for such kind of product is in the NCAP and in the level two in the ADAS area. Yeah. If you do not have a solution which combines both, then you will struggle in the cost for the validation. Yeah. So in the past, we had always the development cost.
Yeah.
But what is now bigger and will be bigger in the next couple of years is the validation efforts. Yeah.
So a level, by using the same architecture in level two systems, you can build scale, which then helps defray that development cost.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So also for ADAS system, you need fusion, perception, and so on, which is from the software size, it's less big as for AD system. But if you have a scalable version of the perception and for the fusion, you can just reuse it.
And how does that scalability work, functionally speaking?
For ADAS functionalities, you're working, or your fusion and perception is working on an object level, which means it's far away from raw data. But this will not work for AD systems. There we need the raw data to understand the environment, build the environment so that we can place our vehicle in this environment and have the localization there.
You're referring to the difference between like an AEB module that only has to recognize an object
exactly.
versus interpretation of multiple sensor
yeah.
inputs.
Yeah.
An
AEB, for example, has to separate, is it a moving target or is it a not moving target? Yeah. In the AD system, we have to understand the whole environment. Yeah. Is this a tree? Is this a pedestrian? Separate pedestrian from tree, for example. Yeah. So we have to understand the whole environment. Yeah.
So for most of the short history of autonomy,
mm-hmm.
Almost all conversations have been around like series automation, add automation, remove human input.
Mm-hmm.
And so on one side, and all the discussions seem to be binary. Over here you have ADAS, over here you have level four and whatever beyond. So, you know, Toyota is developing, you know, this Guardian system, this parallel envelope system like Airbus has, a software protection envelope. Are you developing something like that as well? Do you anticipate, is that a dead end or is that inevitable?
You mean regarding redundancy and so on? Yeah.
To be specific, in my mind, 20 years from now, I expect to be able to go into a car dealership and buy a car that has it's level four capable within a geofence.
Mm-hmm.
And outside that fence, I imagine ADAS will be 20 years better than it is today.
Yep.
So in my mind, it can go one of two ways. It AEB improves, maybe lane keeping improves a little bit. But what I would hope to see, and I mean, Toyota talks about it, but a lot of manufacturers don't. I haven't heard this from ZF. It is an envelope, like in an Airbus, a software envelope that limits, like what, regardless of my inputs to the steering wheel, the outputs are limited.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about scalability.
Yep.
So if such a vehicle is capable of both modes, level four and 2-3,
yep.
It would seem that you would want to exploit all the incoming sensor data that is available because the hardware for four is there, and that you'd want to make it possible. If I turn the steering wheel into a wall, it turns back.
Mm-hmm.
Where is ZF's position on this? Is that coming? Is that in the pipeline?
I would say we have at least concepts, and if this will come in 10, 15, or 20 years, we have to see. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Our focus in the moment is on what can we do the next 2 years, and here the ride-hailing and the robotaxi is the main focus for us. Yeah. But also here, you need such kind of system, maybe not in the full way,
mm-hmm.
yeah, but in a limited version already, mm-hmm. yeah.
So in Germany, will it become possible to have a level four vehicle whose operating domain includes the Autobahn at the current speeds? Is that possible?
Current speed, you mean unlimited?
There are sections that have. I have German friends who commute to work at 180 kilometers an hour.
Yep. So for level two,
mm-hmm.
I would say.
For level four.
For level four, the question is, makes it really sense? And the other question is, the sensor range and resolution, are we ready for this? Yeah. So you must have, for example, for 180 meters kph, you need a sensors which can see more than 300 meters. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, resolution, range, this is cost effective. Yeah. So technology-wise, yes. Legal-wise, it's a different question, right? So when I think in a moment, especially in Europe, we have to speed up, right? So China market, also what we see, what has happened here in US from the legalization. So we have to speed up, yeah? Otherwise, we will lose our competition in a moment. Yeah.
And can you plug any sensor into Pro AI? Does it come with specific sensors? Are sensors part of the overall system? Is that all integrated, or is it modular?
Yeah, exactly. Also here we have the flexibility. So, for example, camera technology, in the moment we see on the market two standards for the communication. One is the FPD link. The other one is the GMSL. So here also we have the flexibility just in a shortened time to adapt additional sensor or other sensor technologies.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if a customer says, you know, look, we're looking at this system that you have. It looks like this can, you know, shorten a lot of our time development. You know, this can make things a lot easier in certain ways because it's ready to go.
Yep.
But, you know, we have this existing relationship with LiDAR company A. You know, we want to use that. Can people choose sort of the extent to which they want to customize this?
This is our goal for the next couple of years. In the moment, we limit it to the sensor setup we have because of the interface. Also, what kind of data you get from the sensor, LiDAR, radar, or camera. Mm-hmm. Camera, it's more or less, so to say, easy. It's a standard format, yeah. But for radar and LiDAR, it's always different. Yeah. So you can choose a tier one Y and we. So they have different solution and different protocols. Yeah. So and as long we do not have a standard there, it's really hard to change just the sensors for half a year or so. Yeah. Or every half a year. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So. And this depends also on the validation. We come always back to the efforts we have and we have to spend on the validation side. Mm-hmm. Our goal is what we have reached on the hardware itself, on the Pro AI. We have developed an hypervisor. So here we can provide to the software stack, if this is from a tier one, from an OEM, always the same signal. Yeah, so it's quite easy to integrate different software stacks. On the sensor side, we want to reach a similar base here that we can just integrate different sensors. Maybe we start also in the simulation with different sensor models to get in an early phase different results so that we can combine this and also here to reach independent from the technology.
Did you build your own simulator or did you use someone else's?
So we started with different suppliers. We depends on which development level or phase you reach in the pre-development and research. We have our own simulation. If it comes more and more serious, we are using standards from the market because also the tools must be certified at the end. Yeah, it's not only the software and the hardware you must have a certification at the end. It's also the development tool, so that in a development process you have already a certification to say, hey, here I follow a process and this is the way to reach at the end approved and certified system.
Is this where you sort of see maybe ZF's competitive advantage in that you guys have all you do, not all you do, but your main thing is developing automotive grade systems. A lot of the newer players in the space are kind of struggling to come to grips with what automotive grade even means and how to validate functional safety, especially in this whole new area.
Yep.
You think this is a core competitive advantage for you?
the process and the tools we are using is more or less standard on the market. So you can go to an OEM, you will see the same tools as for competitors or inside ZF. Yeah. So, and this is a thing we have to do, because if anybody needs is using different tools, then you cannot get to a standard, right?
Yeah. You guys have your own level four test vehicles?
Yep.
So in the test vehicles, when what is the difference between today and when you first started in terms of, you know, two engineers in the vehicle, a safety driver, like the safety protocols? There's been debate, you know, Uber and Waymo. Mm-hmm. They had one person, then they had two people, then went back to one. What was ZF doing back in the day?
I would say we have a long history and experience already from ADAS development. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and the testing was always or is always the same. Yeah. So you must have a test driver. And if you have measurement or data recording system in and you must use this, then you cannot do this in parallel driving and use the test methods or data recording tools.
Are these all closed course testing?
Hmm?
Or public roads or closed course testing?
Yeah.
Closed course.
Yeah.
So one thing that we've talked about, but I've never seen, or at least I haven't heard anyone else really talk about, is why hasn't someone developed a truly effective transition control or transition warning system to go from level four back to two, or even within level two, an effective mode display system? Like, there's no standardization.
Mm-hmm.
Tesla has a mediocre one, but better than most, because most people don't have one at all.
Yep.
Cadillac has one developed in conjunction with Seeing Machines. It's so inconsistent. Mm-hmm. The majority of companies have nothing. What's your position on this? Are you developing a system that will, do you have a standard internally for what a transition system should look like and how it should perform?
It's like the technology we are using. Yeah, nobody has this experience. What is really the right setup? Yeah, and we think this is a right way, but at the end we do not have the final answer so far. Yeah,
Euro NCAP.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they've said that they were going to require in 2020. What was it?
2023.
They required a DMS system.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they haven't said what kind.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are companies like Tesla that think that a torque sensor on the wheel is a sufficient DMS. Cadillac would say that it has to be a driver-facing camera. And it would seem like the standard would have to be very high for a DMS.
Yeah.
And that doesn't even include, you could have a great DMS and no transition warning system, which is Cadillac's transition system is pretty primitive, but they have a great DMS. So, I mean, are you talking to Euro NCAP and lobbying for a standard, or waiting to see what the market is demanding?
Absolutely, yeah. So also we have different technology for the DMS. Yeah. So is camera really the right solution? Do we need a LiDAR system? We have a similar system like the LiDAR, and the big advantage is we can also see the safety belts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, are you using the safety belts or not? Typical taxi drivers, what they are doing is they have the seat belt and you close it, but behind, yeah. So it's useless at the end, yeah. So in this we have to detect in the future. Also, if the driver, if we talk about level 3 functionality, for example, yeah, and you want to bring the driver back in the loop, then you have to recognize what has happened with the driver, yeah. So there are fancy times. Inside 10 seconds, you have to bring the driver back in the loop. But what is happening if you are sleeping, or maybe something is happened with like a heart attack or something else? Yeah. So if you're just playing with your mobile phone, then it's easier to bring people back inside 10 seconds or inside 10 seconds, yeah, or 20. We don't believe in this 10 second, because it's normally unbelievable. If you just play at the traffic jam or during a drive with your mobile phone, and just look to yourself how often it was that you was thinking, hey, how did I pass this crossing section? Yeah, you were driving, but for 5 seconds, you just look to the mobile phone and you do not know what was happened the last couple of seconds, right? So, and this is what we see is we have to really be careful about the driver and how we can bring them back to the loop. So we have to use this driver monitor system. So yeah, you mean.
Sort of zooming out a little, it seems like the real challenge for a tier one supplier is always that you want to add value as much as possible, get as much of the value chain as you can, oftentimes by integrating lots of components together into, right? But then there's a line at which all of a sudden your main customers, which are OEMs, start to say, wait a second, are you doing too much? Are you now threatening us? And I'm curious, is that an issue with a product like Pro AI? Or is that, and really, is that a product for traditional OEMs, or is it more of a way for startups to kind of come into this space? Like, how do you think about the sort of the market for this product?
And there were several questions here.
So. Sorry, this is a bad habit of mine.
So, first thing, this is why we developed this Pro AI family, product family. Yeah, so different customer, different requests. Yeah, so depends on the use case they want to do. So we have several solutions, and in the discussions with them, system architecture wise or system requirement wise, we can decide together what is the best approach for them.
Yeah, and just to you have, I mean, you're talking about delivery robots and shuttles and all kinds of different applications here.
Yeah, also you mentioned Alex before. Regarding highway pilot system, yeah. So this we can do just with our Gen 2 because we need not as much we need for the AD system, not 360 degrees. So it's always depending on the use case.
So you mentioned Ego is one of your and are they just a customer or are they a partner? I mean, this seems like a good way to kind of get into like your relationship with the customers for this.
Yeah, you know, what the market knows, we have a joint venture with Ego.
Right.
Yeah. So Ego itself is a company who develops a vehicle, a small vehicle, EV vehicle. Mm-hmm. And together we are using this technology in a shuttle program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this shuttle program, so we as ZF, we deliver most of the components in this system, right, which means the driveline, steering, braking, but also the AD competence we have.
Right. So you get very close to being an OEM in something like that.
The OEM itself is Ego. But we bring our system competence in this partnership.
Yeah. How many years forward is ZF's like product roadmap planned out?
I would say we are in front, or we are 1 year in front of our competitors.
So, you obviously have some, you know, projection or get strong guesses as to where the market's going to go over time. Mm-hmm. That's more than a year long because people, you know, manufacturers are talking about 2025 and 2030 for deployment of level 4 and beyond. So if you execute perfectly,
I hope so.
Pro AI becomes the product, the stack. Is human driving doomed?
Is what?
Human driving doomed?
No. Because at the end, so we start also with level 4, which means we introduce our system in restricted areas. For example, campus driving. So what we will not support from the beginning is a real level 5 system. Yeah, because level 5 means really you can just sit in the car and drive from point A to point B. Yeah. What we have to do is in a moment we have to train the region we want to drive. If this is a restricted area like a plant, campus use case or so. So, and with these use cases, we will learn for the future to come to a level 5 system. And maybe in a couple years, And I will not say in 10 or 15 years.
You can say anything you like.
So then we can keep the driver really out of the loop, yeah.
So you believe level 5, anywhere, anytime, is possible?
Technology-wise, yes. We have to see how what kind of goals or targets we will get from the governments, from the legalization. Yeah.
How long do you think it will be before the market for level 4 exceeds sort of ADAS, just from your perspective as a supplier of this system? Because in the short term, right, obviously level 2 is going to be where you get the scale.
Yeah.
Will there ever be a point, you think, where level 4, the market for those components and that the systems will be bigger than level 2, or is that too far out that you're not even planning?
I would say we will see the mass market still in the level 2 and in the end cap for the next couple of years. Yeah. So what I see is, especially in China, we will see cities, new cities, they build up from the scrap. Yeah. There we will not see traditional vehicles in the future. So there we will see only...
No human drivers.
Yeah. But there we have then a perfect infrastructure.
Yeah.
And this is, I think, the key thing for the next levels. Yeah. Yeah.
So next steps. As a German...
Yeah.
And you live in Friedrichshafen?
I'm living in Friedrichshafen, yeah. A beautiful place.
So if... ZF executes perfectly. Mm-hmm. Is the final barrier to level 4 or 5 ubiquity, is it cultural? Do you believe that our generation, our children, would choose freely to use level 4 or 5 vehicles? Or that culturally there will always be something in societies where human driving is part of the fabric will survive?
Yeah. It's a strange question, and it's not easy to answer for me, because if I go, I'm now in this business more than 20 years. Yeah, and when we started to develop the first radar system and the ACC application, and I was driving in such kind of car on German autobahns with 200 kph, it was strange. But I'm living now in this environment since 20 years. For me, it's, I would say, normal. So I cannot answer. My parents, at this time, they mentioned, hey, you're crazy. How can you sit in such kind of cars? Now, 20 years later, mostly of us, or most colleagues of us, or people of us, they have AEB, ACC. So they learned it, yeah, and now they drive it. I would say... the learning curve for AD functionality will be faster than what we did the last couple of years with ADAS system, because also the humans get more experience with such kind of cars. And now the step between or from level 2, an ADAS function, to an AD function is not so big than in the past from... I'm in the control, and now I'm losing the full control. Yeah. So we had several steps between, if this is lane keeping, lane centering, following functions. So we trust more and more the system. So this is a learning curve I see. Yeah.
Do you think it's too late? And obviously we've seen some interesting dynamics in the autonomous drive space in terms of sort of a lot of hype. I think here, especially at CES this year, there's a lot of people talking about sort of, you know, the being beyond peak hype and sort of where we are right now. I'm wondering, is it too late for a new company that maybe sees an opportunity for autonomous drive, but wants to sort of leverage what you have? Is it too late for them? And I guess, just generally speaking, like, is the market continuing to develop? Is the peak hype thing, is that just existing in the media and perception behind the scenes in the business? Is the business of autonomy still strong?
The answer is in the money you can spend. Yeah. So I think you have seen what we will spend in the next couple of years. What we have spent the last 2 years, and this on top, I think we can see a couple of companies, they can spend such kind or amount of money.
How much? if you don't mind me asking?
Yeah. So what you have seen, we will spend on top to our R&D budget $12 billion US dollar the next 5 years. And this is a huge pocket, right?
Do you anticipate, you know, I mean, I'm pretty sure that in the next 12, 24 months, there's going to be a crash and that, you know, of these dozens and dozens of level four startups that have to die. Like, I just don't, it's not apparent to me that any of them have bring a unique approach. So, I mean, will you be acquiring these companies?
I think this is the hope of these startups, yeah, that they have the right ideas, maybe a solution where others have a big gap, yeah, where they can fill this gap. But it's startup tradition, right?
Have you acquired any startups, even out in stealth mode, that we haven't heard about?
No. We have announced our ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So we have smaller companies, if they are startups or not. So they are innovative companies like Astix for the radar or IBEO for the LiDAR technology. But we are also looking for cooperation with, like with Hella, where we see we as ZF, we have a gap. So we don't believe that we as ZF, we can fix everything because it's a huge topic we have to solve, right? And this is one point. What I see in the next couple years, maybe just in the next couple months, we see more and more cooperation. Yeah, because nobody can spend all this money we need to make these things happen. Yeah, in the future.
And so, what are the kind of companies that you're looking to cooperate with more?
Yeah, technology companies, like I mentioned with Astix, where we see you need the. The competence in the sensor technology, you need part of your R&D team who is already thinking about the next generation. Yeah. So, and here, not like in the Pro AI with the generation, really, if we take the radar, so in the past we had this 2D radar, now we have a 3D radar. In the future, maybe there will come different technology, maybe from the military use cases, right? Which we can just adapt and use in the automotive grade environment then. Yeah. So, and this is the big thing. If there is a right company who has the right idea and is focused on such kind of solution, then we will partner or we will acquire them.
What is the hardest part of this stack, just technologically purely?
Yeah, you have to compare the different technology, and you know, these startups, they will protect their IP. So on a high level, you have to understand what is really behind, and then you must make the right decision which way you want to go. Yeah, for example, with our IBEO and the flash LiDAR, it was the question, is this the right way we have to go, or different technology? So with other companies in the Silicon Valley, for example, you must be really fast because everybody is looking for partners or for technology. So you have to have the right people to understand the technology in a fast way and make the right decision also in the same speed. Yeah.
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 Where's your main R&D center?
Our main R&D center is in Friedrichshafen, where our headquarters is.
So are you recruiting for engineers from the United States or elsewhere in the world and having them move there?
We are open, but we are also open to open new offices where the people are. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Pittsburgh, Silicon Valley.
Silicon Valley. We have a small office, but it's... you must be popular in the Silicon Valley, yeah. So, and nobody knows ZF, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, this we try to change. That also the guys here in the Valley or in the States recognize ZF. Yeah, the world knows ZF. Yeah, mm-hmm. But in this new world, system competence, autonomous driving, e-mobility. So this we have to change, and we are changing this quite fast. In Europe, a lot of people knows what we are doing. And if you look to my team, I have a lot of people with a lot of experience from other companies. We work together, and now we are working together for ZF, and we are pushing this with our experience from the past.
I mean, have you had to change culturally in order to interact and sort of work at the speed that sort of startups expect in order to work with you? Is that cultural sort of clock matching challenge been something you guys have been doing?
You mean inside ZF or in general?
In general. I mean, you know, you just hear sort of a lot of times from startups, they kind of tend to say, well, like, why do we don't want to work with these old guys, right? And you know, they move so slowly, and it partnerships are, you know, we have these culture clashes and things like that. I'm just wondering culturally, how do you approach that? Is it and is sort of the focus sort of being able to work with startups, or is it more about sort of becoming more startup like yourself?
I think it's the soft skills from your colleagues. Yeah. So 20 years ago, when we started radar development, coming from the military. Yeah. So my friends and my family, I started in a body electronics development. Yeah. And they mentioned, hey, why are you moving in this area? There is no chance for a radar in a vehicle in the future. Yeah. So these guys, we had already 20 years ago startup feeling. Yeah. So we were a small company. We did everything. Yeah. So from the system approach down to the component, right? And so this is what I mean with your soft skills. Yeah. These guys, even if they are 40 or 45, they have this in mind, right? And if you mix this, people with experience and then with young people, I think then you are on the right way.
Yeah.
So, and this has nothing to do with change culture.
Yeah.
It's your mind. Mindset.
And as a supplier, you're not necessarily quite as stuck to like the 4-year product cycle or something as an OEM. Is that right?
So this is the big change. Yeah. So I mentioned it the last couple of days several times. So two mindset or two cultures are coming now together. And this means the consumer market meets the automotive market. Yeah. We could collect experience on NVIDIA side, but also on ZF side. So both company, they have a learning curve, yeah? So, and understand what is the different, yeah? So NVIDIA from the consumer market or the mobility market, mobile phone market, they have cycles, development cycles, 80 months, I would say, yeah? From the automotive market, a couple of years ago, we had 7 years development cycles, then 3.5. So now we cannot do everything in 3 years. So we have to be faster. Yeah. And if you just look what we did and what we reached the last 2 years, it's tremendously. And it is compared inside ZF. So there is, as Wolfgang Scheidel mentioned, so we... a company inside the big company, and we are working different to the traditional development.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, do you think in 10 years will people know ZF more for as an autonomous drive developer than as a transmission maker?
I hope mid of this year already.
Okay.
Yeah. So we cannot wait 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Then
yeah.
The market is gone. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Sure.
Oh, so in 10 years.
Yeah.
Will more lives be saved by deployment of level 4 or by improved ADAS?
I would say both, yeah, because with both systems you can...
That's such a good corporate answer.
Come on, man. Come on, I thought Germans were honest.
No, but it's the fact, yeah. So on the ADAS or level 2 functionality, you will have still the mass market, yeah? And if you improve this functionality or these features, then you can save life as well as with level 4 functionality.
So I have one more question. It seems like there's been some progression in the autonomous drive space, sort of when this, and again, I'm purely speaking from perception, sort of in the media and the public eye. I think there was sort of this idea when this, when Waymo first really came out and it really became into the public eye.
Waymo.
But it was before they were Waymo. It was Google.
No,
it was Google.
No. We're cool with them. We like them.
Yeah.
Cool. Or Apple.
It was sort of, I think people immediately thought, okay, like our car, we're going to still have cars, right? But they're just going to be able to drive a level 5. So basically kind of a level 5 autonomous system on otherwise a fairly normal car, maybe then evolving in the system. And I think we've seen over time, as the space has matured and people start to understand the technology a little better, a little bit more sort of splitting off. So you get different categories of shuttles, for example, is one of the big things that's evolved. I'm curious, like, is there one area within this, maybe shuttles, maybe like delivery robots? It seems like this year at CES, there's a lot of delivery robots, almost more so than human mobility.
Yeah.
Are you seeing growth in one of those areas more than the other, or is it a cyclical thing, or...
Yeah, I don't know what is the share. We see both, cargo moving, but also people moving. Mm. Cargo moving, if we just look, for example, for US, how many truck driver you will miss 2024, it's more than 160,000 truck driver. Yeah. Mm. And what I learned is this is one of the best where you can get the most salary with no education, right? So I think for the cargo moving, we will have a big market in the future, mm-hmm. yeah. Especially in cities or from hub to hub driving. Which one is bigger in the future? Personally, I would say in the cargo moving, for the next couple of years, yeah, because cargo moving, you have several use cases in plants, logistic centers,
ports.
Exactly, yeah. So there, I think, beside from restricted area use cases like campus and so on, I think this is the biggest market in the future.
And so more so longer distance than like last mile delivery.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
My last question, I promise. Hey, Belinda. What percentage of ZF's R&D budget is level 4 versus what percentage is ADAS?
Let's say it's a huge portion of the whole R&D. So if you just look...
A huge portion is ADAS. Is level 4 or ADAS? What's larger for today?
Well, and with Pro AI, it kind of blends the two, right? I mean, yeah.
Without revenue, I would say in the moment it's level 4 or ID development. Yeah. Yeah. So what we are doing here in the moment, and also with this $12 billion US dollar,
we spend a lot. Over what span of time is that $12 billion?
5 years.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we spend a lot. Yeah. And I would say we will not see an revenue for the next 2 or 3 years. So this is really investment for our future. Yeah. And again, not everybody or each company can do this. I think ZF, especially we as ZF, we have from our company, how we organize, we have a really great base to do this. Yeah. And if you compare this $12 billion with what some OEM is spending in this area, so we are at the same level as a tier one.
More than some.
More than some.
Yeah. Yeah, I can think of at least one. Less than,
at least one.
At least one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think this is why I like to work for ZF. Yeah. So, we have really a base and the freedom from our board members and from our CEO. And especially our CEO is pushing us that we reach our target. Yeah. So I think we are fast, but he expects that we are faster. Yeah. So, and he knows also if we want to be successful, he must support us. Yeah, and he is one of our biggest supporters in the company, for especially for the AD, and also the whole board supports us in a way I haven't seen or I have seen on the market so far.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, I do actually have one more question.
No, it's fine.
Just, keep going here. But I'm just...
Do you hate driving?
No. We already covered this. No. Is it hard as a supplier to do you ask your partners or your customers to publicize the fact that they're working with you? Is it hard to get people to understand, because you're a supplier, you're not, you know, BMW, Mercedes, these names that consumers know, they're out there, they're spending billions of dollars in advertising for public awareness. How do you deal with that challenge? Is it a challenge, and how do you deal with it?
Yes and no. Depends on the OEM, right, or on our customer. I will not say arrogant, yeah, mm-hmm. but...
German car company, arrogant? Never heard that before.
What do you have mentioned? I should say, hey, Alex, come on. Yeah. So, no, it's... what we see is more and more OEMs, they need partners, and partners from the tier one who has the system knowledge and competence. Yeah, and here also from the passive side, we have a lot of competence. And I would say ZF is one of the, I would say the only tier one in the moment who has the bright product portfolio. Yeah, so we can really support everything from the passive to the active side, yeah. And we have really the system competence. Yeah. And if you just compare what we have and to other tier ones or suppliers, there is no one who has the same portfolio than we.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. If people want to follow you, are you on social media? Is there somewhere that people can follow you?
On LinkedIn, Xing in Germany or in Europe. So this is a typical, you can follow me.
Okay. No, yeah. No Twitter account.
No.
No. Okay. And
just one question, and I have to answer. Your question was if I hate driving. I think it's a question on the use case. Yeah. Driving daily from home to work, this is boring me.
What do you drive?
You can tell us.
I can tell. Okay, it's an Audi A6 with a lot of horsepower.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it an RS6?
No, it's not an RS.
An S6?
No, it was not.
An A6 that you've modified yourself?
It's a quattro diesel.
Okay.
Yeah. With more than 300 horsepower. Mm-hmm. So it's funny to drive this, but it's not funny to drive 10 kilometers from home to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But
yeah.
Especially in Germany, if we drive from south to the north part. So,
What year is the car?
2 years.
Whose lane keeping module is in the car?
I cannot say that I hate this ADAS functionality in this vehicle, but yeah.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much for thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us. It's been
really
interesting, and we look forward to following you and your progress.
Great, thanks.
All right,
okay. Wait, Ed, do you want to just let us know where we can find you?
I'm now currently at the drive,
and I'm currently at the Human Driving Association.
All right,
thanks.
Okay, thanks.